The time is 9:59. Coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear Law and Disorder. Retired U.S. Senator Bob Graham discusses the U.S.-Saudi relationship and its influence on U.S. foreign policy. And Professor Rashid Khalidi explains Saudi Arabia's posture in the broader Middle East. At 11 on stage in studio, host Dee Mae Roberts features three staged readings starring African-American actresses. S. Renee Mitchell's new play, Ophelia in Oblivion, Bonnie Ratner's Hazardous Beauty, and Nancy Moss's Deception. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan interviews painter Gabe Brown. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
This is Mike Crenshaw.
And Monica Beamer.
We are KABU station co-managers. We wanted to say thank you to all of our members for helping KABU to exceed our goals in December. We appreciate everyone's generosity and commitment to KABU, and we can't do all that we do without you.
We wanted to thank you for helping us to meet our $10,000 one-to-one match for new and increasing donations in November and December. We met our goal. And thank you to all the generous foundations and donors who created the match that encouraged new membership.
We have a lot more to do in 2016, and we can't do it without our members, our volunteers, and our whole community.
Thanks for keeping KABU strong.
Morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, January 19th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And I want to second what Monica and Mike just said. Thank you to everyone. It keeps all of us on the air. It keeps you informed and part of a greater community so that no one ever need to feel that their voice is lost in the crowds, because stand with us and we are the crowd. We are the KBOO crowd, and we do speak out on behalf of a community which otherwise in the what passes for political discourse these days is nothing but the roar of the mob, for the most part, and an angry mob too. There's been a lot of discussion in the media, in the press, recently, of what the source of this incredible, incoherent, inchoate rage that seems to have paralyzed and ignited at the same time a whole nation. Where does it come from? Well, it's pretty clear to me that it's a result of simply feeling uninformed, not knowing what's going on around them is what's causing a lot of these people to literally take up arms in some cases, and figuratively taking up arms. In just a moment, we're going to be speaking with today's guest, Robert Craig, with Citizen Action Wisconsin, about an article which appeared in this recent Sunday's New York Times, The Destruction of Progressive Wisconsin. We've talked a lot with Robert over the last few years, actually, about the politics in Wisconsin, especially under the draconian iron fist of Governor Scott Walker, who took on the unions and in dubiously illegal actions put the unions out of the picture as far as the people of the state of Wisconsin are concerned. They pretty much dismantled the power of labor in that state. And we talked about how Wisconsin in many cases is the standard of what's going to happen across the country. And indeed, that is exactly the way it has turned out. This is an article. It's by Dan Kaufman, a writer and a musician, by the way. This piece deconstructs the deconstruction of Wisconsin, and particularly that part of it which is progressive and which got rolling right back around 1900. Last month, though. Up to date, Mr. Walker, the redoubtable Mr. Scotty, signed a bill that allowed corporations to donate directly to political parties. Same day, he signed a law that replaced the state's nonpartisan government accountability board that they're responsible for election oversight and enforcing ethics codes. Well, he got rid of that. Obviously, that can't have that. You can't have ethics codes, and you certainly can't have fair elections. So he got rid of them, and now he has set up two commissions, made up of partisan appointees, appointed by, of course, who? Wait for it, Mr. Walker himself. Now a new bill is supported by Walker, which is expected to clear the Republican-dominated legislature with the Senate vote. So it threatens to corrupt Wisconsin civil service. Back in 1905, Wisconsin was the third state to enact civil service reform that helped to establish a national model for clean government. The reforms were one of the many achievements that took place then and which are now currently being taken apart by Scott Walker. And we're going to see this moving across the country. We have, of course, as the world knows and as many listeners experienced, yesterday was the commemoration of the works and accomplishments, the achievements, and the leadership of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This was, of course, at the Highland Community Christian Center. I can't say I'm for sure. I have no idea exactly how many people attended. I was there for a while, and I decided to go in with a different point of view, I think, possibly. Maybe I'm wrong. But I wanted to know about stories. I do storytelling, and I thought, why don't we get right into it and come out punching, so to speak? Why not just walk around? Because everybody in the room, everyone who attended, everyone, no matter where they came from, no matter what the background, everyone has a story. And yesterday, the day that we, all of us there at the Highland Center, shared together, became part of our individual stories and our collective story, because we were all there together. Something moved us. We remembered some of the our experiences, what we recall of Dr. Martin Luther King and how he influenced, how he changed our lives. Some he inspired to activism, and many and others in many, many different ways. Dr. King inspired them to change their lives. Those are the stories that I wanted to hear. And I especially wanted to talk with representatives of community service groups. And we spoke with Central City Concerned. I got a lot of stories from yesterday, but I thought perhaps your listeners might like to hear a recruiter from the Portland Police Department. I wanted to delicately ask him how he felt about activism in Portland and a police response to it. Very often that activism brought about by police brutality. So, you know, we're on a little bit of thin ice there, but nonetheless, here's part of the story that the officer told me. Anything else that you'd like to say to people, you know, who are involved in activism and I don't know how to say this, but they have had less than pleasant experiences with police.
The thing about that is this, my name is Officer Tim Evans, and I am the recruit coordinator for the Portland Police Bureau. And like I mentioned before, I have 21 years with Portland, but prior to Portland, I had 5 years with a state agency in North Carolina. The thing that I like to say to people who are activists when it comes to issues concerning the police, whether it's mistrust or whether it's, actions that are inappropriate, or not to mention brutality or profiling. I tell people to continue to stay engaged, continue to be activists, not to mention, hey, be part of the process. And the way you can be part of the process is not just by being the activist that you are, but also referring people that you know that qualify to become police officers. Because as you know, it's just like taking medicine. Until you get the medicine inside, then it makes a difference outside. So we need to start getting those activists and those people who really care about change to start looking at a career in police.
And there you have it. Out of work, that's an option. Officer Tim was a very congenial, great person to talk to. And at the same time, we have to remember that we, all of us are, as a community, are responsible for keeping our police officers everywhere, now whether they're recruitment guys or whether they are on beat cops on the street, that as citizens, we all share responsibility to keep people accountable for their actions wherever and whenever those actions and whatever those actions might be. So that was part of the story, his story from North Carolina. We spoke with Central City Concern. We spoke with people who were at tables selling baked goods, and they had incredible stories. One woman started when she was 5 years old. That's when she first started baking. She'd been doing this for 40, 50 years now. We spoke with so many countless people, and all of that audio will be ready soon. I'll try to get that up for you. We return now, of course, to what's going on out around Burns at the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. The powers that be are still taking a wait-and-see attitude. I think we've pretty much seen enough and heard enough from these people. They brought in someone to give a lecture about the on the Constitution. 300 people showed up for this lecture, and for the just to make a long story short, it was primarily an ad for the occupiers at the wildlife refuge. Virtually every word coming out of the media right now has been echoing statements, from the loony end of the spectrum, from the people at the wildlife refuge. They're given more press time than presidential candidates. Just a bunch of out-of-state rabble that have come in. Now here's what they're telling people. They're telling ranchers out there is that they should tear up their contracts simply occupy. Their cows are going to be occupying rangeland. They were already getting a sweet deal from the BLM. They had nothing to complain about, nothing whatsoever. And still, they've decided that they're going to pay nothing at all, which would be akin to, we all know, if we rent a flat or a house or whatever, that if we just simply decided we weren't going to pay, that we all know what would happen. Rent is rent, whether it's a cow or whether it's you and your family. And however far to the left one might want to explore, still there are certain agreements that are part of the social contract that somewhat civilized people do consent to be part of. This just happens to be one of them. They've decided that they don't owe anybody anything. And we are all waiting now to see what happens when, as the weather gets warmer and more people come out, though it's good for people to come out whenever possible. What a hell of a drive, they'll say that. But nonetheless, this, though, from comes in from Earth First. The Flathead National Forest is a national forest. It is in the western part of the U.S. state of Montana. The forest is over 2 million acres. About 1 million of those acres are designated as wilderness. U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy has refused to lift an injunction on a logging project near the Swan Valley, siding with a coalition of environmental groups that argued that the U.S. Forest Service skirted the public involvement process. Wait for it, though. The U.S. Forest Service recently contended that the injunction should be lifted because the agency has since complied with the court's order by reanalyzing the timber sale with internal reviews. Malloy disagreed, stating that a supplemental environmental assessment with full public involvement is required before the timber sale moves forward. That's about it. That's the corker. The judge in this case sided with not the timber companies, not even the environmentalists, but with this wildlife area. And just like ISIS, thousands are returning. That there's one model for you to put up on the wall and consider. Then here comes another one, just like ISIS. Eh? Remember when the Buddhists came down in Bamiyan in Afghanistan? Remember all of the destruction that's happened to very important archaeological sites, which all of us share. Thousands of archaeological artifacts in Malheur now they were a thing of the past a year ago. They're really a thing of the past now. This has been at Cascadia for Tuesday, January 19, 2016. Janet Anderson engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOIM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand and don't forget to make those calls to speak out against the Trans-Pacific Partnership. These are the last few days. These are your last minutes of opportunity. Once it passes, that's it. It's irrevocable and it can never be retired. Make the calls.